Welcome to the Port Forward Podcast.
How much time do we have?
How much time do you have?
No, I said we as in how much time do you fuckers have?
Oh.
I want to get to sleep before like 1 a.m. or some shit.
Okay, there we go. So how much time do you have is the question. Who wants to get to sleep before 1? Yo.
What's shaking?
Nothing, dude. Is your internet done? Are we just going to drop you?
Dude, drop. I'm fucking sitting here in the dark like a fucking idiot. Man.
How much battery do you have on your phone?
Wait, Sam, can you hear them? Say it again, Sam. I mean, Merrick, say it again.
How much battery do you have on your phone?
Merrick wants to know how much battery you have.
Okay, so the cell phone, I have about 20% battery left, and my laptop has about 95% battery, so I'm charging the cell phone with the laptop.
That's awesome, dude.
He's on the phone, he's not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They're laughing. Alright, well, we're just going
to... Darkness is encroaching, though.
Okay. We're just going to probably go without you unless you can get in the call. I mean, you know.
Hey, maybe the power will come back
on. Yeah, I'll see what I can do. If I can, I'll call in. But for me, talk about that laptop in the show.
Okay, put it in the show notes. I'll get in the notes and put it in the notes, all right?
All right.
All right, dude.
Think of anything else, I'll just text it to you.
Okay, cool, dude.
All right,
bye.
Show.
Oh, thanks, dude. All right, so that was Sam, everybody.
Hi Sam, nice to meet you. Now that you're gone.
Merrick, Sam, I heard about your podcast through Ben's interview with Michael Dominic on Coda Radio, and I think you guys do an excellent job. I really enjoyed the breadth of technical topics and the style, which keeps the discussion exciting. I just finished listening to episode 27, in which Merrick gave an excellent overview of the history of Node and the key features it offers over traditional web frameworks like PHP, etc. I'm interested in learning more about Node.js and JavaScript, as I am trying to learn the nuts and bolts behind a very interesting new dynamic web interface for statistical analysis and visualization that uses Node.js on the back end to serve content. That was the longest sentence ever. That is a crazy sentence. Do you have any recommendations for helpful tutorials and guides on Node.js and JavaScript? I've heard great things about Code School from Coder Radio, but I want to know if there are additional resources that would help me learn this powerful application. I'm also a fellow podcaster in which I discuss statistical computing using powerful open source R, quote unquote, language for statistical computing. When Merrick touched on Ryan Dahl's background in mathematics and how he likely used some programming framework to crunch out complicated derivations, this is right on the money. In the words of statistics, that's a word, now it is also being referred to as data science. The R language is one of those powerful frameworks that was written by statisticians for statisticians. If you guys are interested in recording a future episode about statistical computing and would like to have me on the show to talk about what R brings to the table, please let me know and be glad to participate. My podcast is Found, and he gives his podcast. And recently, he's just got a new episode he's just recording because it's been sort of a break. He said, thanks again for the great show. I look forward to the new episode, the next episode. And his podcast is www.r-podcast.org. So that's r-podcast.org.
Sweet mother flipping titties.
So I listened to a bit of his podcast. I actually was really busy today, but I listened to his most recent and a couple earlier ones just like sampling through. And he is like a hardcore data scientist. Like he's
that
like...
That shit's kind of going to explode here, I think, a little bit, if it isn't already, just because there's more and more and more data by the freaking second, and people who can use it, you know, will be able to profit from it almost inevitably.
Exactly.
Yep.
So check out his podcast, guys. Welcome to the Port Forward Podcast. This is episode number, what is it, 30,
30.
Guys? Is this
30.
The huge 30?
30.
Wow. Yeah.
We've reached middle ages now.
So I'd like to introduce everybody to my fucking excellent friend named David Secra. He's a very smart person, and welcome, David.
Thanks. Nice to be on the podcast.
I'm stoked. You're going to have to refresh my memory. I feel like we talked before about how I at least ran into David initially, or we on the podcast and ran into David initially, but I don't remember what
you
we
actually
did
never
say,
did
so
not
you have
say,
to remind
you,
me.
You didn't say a single thing, and so what we're talking about is the skinning of the website. And last podcast, I mistakenly answered you and said, "Oh yeah, I heard that," because I didn't understand exactly what you were saying, but there was much deeper levels that I didn't even know about. So why don't one of you guys tell the story? Because I honestly don't know anything about how you guys connected or whatever. I don't even know what happened. So I need to know because that's really cool.
Well, the intrigue was the best part of how the podcast met David. And David, if you remember, you know, roughly what you told us in the beginning, if you could rehash that a little bit, it'd be sweet.
I'll start from the beginning. I was a Peace Corps volunteer in Tanzania, and I had tons of time on my hands, and ended up downloading the whole back catalog of the podcast and listening to it. And it made me want to build something. So
that's so awesome.
The website, and the website wasn't the greatest layout. It was just the standard WordPress
2011
black and white 2011 theme. So I thought, hey, I'm going to redesign this. I ended up first actually redesigning it in Cake PHP from scratch. I built a whole blogging system on Cake PHP, and then.
Hold on. Let's just think about that for a second. Because some people, you know, if you say something, some people are like, "Oh yeah, that's crazy," but that's not a little thing by itself.
That
so
is quite the accomplishment.
He had free time on his hands, and he was like, "Oh, I'm just going to build this shit from scratch." Like anytime you're like, "Oh, I'm going to build something from scratch and see how this goes," it's awesome so long as you actually do it and have the time. Because usually it's like you're getting into it and you're like, "Oh my god, why did I think I would do this? This is so much work." But again, congrats.
I'm going to build this in like 2 weeks. And then I just kept on adding more crap. And it ended up taking like 3 months before I had the version that I put up on the internet and showed you guys.
And how do you like Cake? How do you think that Cake as a framework helped you move forward in your dev?
It was the first framework I ever built anything in. So it was awesome. I really like the MVC architecture, which is Model View Controller.
I really like it too. A lot of times when I'm starting a new program, like if I wanted to build something like that, but I just kind of did it by hand, I wouldn't know where to put things. Like I wouldn't know how to organize stuff. I'd be like, okay, I've got all these files and they're all just like here. Yeah. But MVC gives you rules. And as long as you follow the rules, you'll be okay. You'll never get in trouble. So it's really useful to find a framework. It doesn't even matter if it's crappy or good, and follow the rules and see what you know, you can get really far. It's crazy, right?
Yeah. Especially if you're using a relational database like MySQL, it lays it out perfectly for you so that you actually have to think about what your architecture is going to be before you start building stuff, and it makes it really nice.
So did you so it has an ORM then?
Yeah, Cake has an ORM.
And tell me about the ORM for Cake.
It's pretty simple. Just PHP, you call, basically you make the models and then you just call the names of the models and which data you want to get out, and it does everything for you.
So for those, so tell everybody, someone tell everybody what an ORM is, please.
It's an object relational mapper, and it basically takes whatever language you're typing in Cake PHP, it's PHP, and it lets you write queries to MySQL without having to write out the SQL.
So you give it an object, you give it a class, right? You say, this is the class I have.
Yeah.
And then so you say,
have podcasts, and you have a comments. You have a class that just holds comments, and you say, I want to get the comments between these dates. And you say, okay, I want to take the comments class, and then you give it an argument saying between these dates, and then it builds.
And the date is a date variable, right? It's not like a string, yeah, or something you built, right? Okay.
So it's really simple, native to whatever language you're writing in, and then it'll create the MySQL query for you, so you don't have to think in SQL when you're building your awesome site.
And what does the config file look like? The one that you choose all the classes and you kind of give it like basic, like, you know, login stuff or whatever.
There's all kinds of config files. It's been a while since I used Cake.
Is that like an XML, or is it like comma separated value, or is it like an actual PHP? It's like a PHP include file probably, right?
It's a PHP file.
But okay, yeah, interesting.
So in other words, if any of the listeners out there are thinking about getting into programming and you want to mess with this stuff and you don't know about databases at all, or you know very little about them, it might be good for you, in whatever language you want to start in, to find a framework with an ORM so you don't have to worry or be confused about the database stuff right away. You can just get to coding and building shit.
Yep. And then you can always worry about later if you need to speed stuff up. You can write custom queries and figure out that stuff later.
Totally. It's all part of the learning process, the awesome learning process of becoming super coder.
So after you wrote it in Cake, what happened next in the story of the website skin?
So I registered a domain, portfwdpodcast.com.
What the hell? That's my Twitter handle, dude. I fucking would sue you for that.
What's our real domain? I'm actually, it's port spelled out, right? The whole word?
Yeah, but Twitter limits the length of your handle so that you can have to choose portfwd, and I copied that for the domain on the internet.
Nice. Cocksucker.
So
what was mind-blowing is when he came out of the woodwork, so to speak, he, you know, didn't identify himself at all in this initial communication. He just sent us a link, and there was a pretty entertaining little passage with it.
I was, and he bluffed. He pretended like he knew who I was, but I knew he didn't.
Oh, so you knew? So you called, but you called my bluff?
I registered an email.
Wait. You called my bluff?
I didn't call it. I just didn't give in and tell you my name or give you any more information about who
but
I was.
But you fucking totally did, because you were like, oh, but I can't Skype you. And I was like, well, the only person that obviously cannot Skype anyone is either homeless Sam or it's fucking Davey in Africa.
Well,
so I was like,
even though we had some theories and ideas and we were talking about it for a while, to be honest, no one knew for sure who it was. Just some person randomly cloned the Port Forward Podcast website
onto a different domain that we didn't own or control.
So I built the website. I sent them an email. I don't remember what the email said. Something like, check
it
out this.
Pretty port. Entertaining.
I think I gave you login credentials.
You're telling the story. I'll find it.
I think I gave you login credentials to the site.
Yes, you did.
So that you could play around with it and see all the awesome stuff I did, even though you probably didn't.
I actually didn't get a chance to, and I would love to be re-given credentials and take a look around. I don't know if you have like a... Is it still running, by the way?
Yeah, it's still up there. I haven't updated new shows, but it's still up there. I'm proud of it just because it's... I don't know. Everything is edited in place. So anything you... If you're an admin, you log in. It's the same layout as the normal Port Forward Podcast site.
What you should do... Dude, you should do this. What would be really cool is if when you loaded and then you popped like a little moving box or something and say, this is a caricature of this other site and it's almost exactly the same and this is the design I built. And when you click it, it'll take you over to the full Port Forward Podcast. And then it looks exactly the same, right? And it's like a little annotation on the site that you built with credentials as far as what you did or whatever. You know what I mean?
I think actually to log in to this site, I probably shouldn't say this.
No, but, don't say it. Don't tell me. Don't tell me about the login on the air, you cocksucker.
No, no. I can give you the credentials, but I'll give you how you. There's no like login button. You have to put in the contra code. You have to do up, up, down, down, left, right, left, right, 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 A, B, and then that's it right. pops up the login screen. You put in your credentials, and it comes up with the same site, but everything is edited in place, so you can just double click on the title or double click on the.
And what did you use for that? Bootstrap or something?
It's a jQuery plugin. I use Bootstrap for the CSS styling. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
All the edited in place is different jQuery. Libraries that I...
So I found the email, if you don't mind me interrupting. It's awesome. So he sent this email to us. His initial contact was from packets@portfwdpodcast.com, which is also our email address from the real portfordpodcast.com. And it says, it's like, when you first read it, you're like, what's going on? I don't understand, but it's awesome that once we started to figure it out, we're like, I can't believe this is a real thing. This is happening. And this is the email. I like the cut of your jib and the jab of your jive. Speaking of jib cutting, I sliced off a new piece of cake. That's what I imagine the lingo for building a new website among ultra-cool hipsters Instagramming each other's Pinterest. In any case, check it out. Just follow the domain of this here electronic mail. It still needs some spit and shine, but let me know what you think. Be brutally honest. It's the only way I'll know I'm a complete idiot. And then I've been some guy, and it's like so awesome because it's like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, I seriously didn't get it for a while when Ben showed this to me. I'm like, wait, what? This is, and you built this? I was like, what's going on here? Just explain it to me. And then once you did, I'm like, oh my God, someone did this. This is awesome. And then that began the quest to find out who this was and what they were doing. And so back to your story, David, of, you know.
Well, I would like to interject on Sam's behalf because Sam commented about this because we did touch on this before. Okay. And he said that it was a clone, like he'd cloned the website, but it was like some next level shit. He was like, it looked so fucking sick. He said that last episode. So I'm sure he would repeat himself if he were here now.
If Sam had power running into the domicile he currently inhabits illegally, I'm sure, yeah, he would definitely have comment. But we sadly lost him due to power loss.
Exactly.
Yeah, I should have written a web scraper in, I don't know, Python or something, just to scrape all the shows.
There is an RSS, you know.
But, yeah, RSS feed could have done that too. But I wanted to the whole show notes layout I thought was shitty.
They're all different. They all are laid out different. All the show notes, I just basically go into fucking WordPress and take a shit in there in the little input box.
So, opportunity. Any fans with a lot of time on your hands, just go ahead and fix our show notes and we'll love you because they're terrible.
The coolest thing about the site, Davey, is that when you scroll to the bottom, it loads more. That's the coolest thing, dude.
Oh, yeah, just continuous scrolling.
I want that. I want that in my HTML5 application, dude. Scrolling is so bad.
It's just a JavaScript add-on.
Oh, I want it, dude. I love HTML. Well, I hate HTML5, but I love it when people do it right. when it's done right, it looks so awesome, but I can't write it for shit. So,
yeah. Speaking of show note layout, I noticed that you, quick aside, you start putting the download link and the play right now stuff at the bottom of the show notes instead of the top.
And that messed you up.
Is it the RSS feed?
It's because the RSS feed and did you listen to last episode, Davey?
Yeah.
I mentioned I was going to do some show notes inception.
Yeah, so and you click on it from the RSS feed instead of having to...
Turns out I was freaking super wrong because none of the podcast players parse links out of that box. I tried three different ways. I tried a link and it removed the link text. I tried putting the literal HTTP, once with a different name and one with the same name, and it didn't work. So the very first thing in the show notes was the link to podcast 29. Yeah.
Like a little recursive.
Yeah, but it doesn't
even go to the RSS feed?
If you're on a podcast player. So what podcast player do you use, dude?
But yeah, I don't use mine. I just go to the website.
What is with these people that just go to the website and listen to it? I don't understand, dude. Podcast player is so much better for your life, dude. People are like, oh, I haven't checked. I'm like, doesn't your RSS player notify you when there's new shows? So everybody who's listening to my voice right now, probably Neil included, I would really challenge you to try installing an RSS reader on your Android, on your iOS, on even on your desktop. There's tons for Linux, and subscribing to our RSS feed, which is a feed burner link. And what is it? It's feeds.feedburner.com/port-forward-podcast, all one word, all lowercase. So those of you with the RSS itch to learn about what the hell that is, please try it. Thank you. And you too, Davey. You're on notice now. Davey.
Now that I'm back in America, I gotta try. But when I was in Africa, it literally took. Yeah, hear me?
Yeah, no, yeah. Keep going.
Okay. When I was in Africa, it literally took like 3 or 4 hours to download a podcast, so there's no way I was going to run an RSS.
It was a need of a developing nation internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I'm stoked you're back, but you obviously had intermittent and slow internet at best, not to mention the fact you lived in like a concrete hut, right? Or something like that?
It was a legit house. When I joined the Peace Corps, I expected to to be in a mud hut, definitely. But now I ended up being in a pretty legit house on a nice little island, so I have no complaints about my living situation. Although I am happy to have running water that I can drink and not have to wash my clothes in a bucket.
Stressing. Davey, I'm going to have to ask you to stop talking because apparently...
Back to the story. Can you hear me?
I can, but apparently when you go on long rants, it's now my fault that we have Skype problems. So we're still recording on your end, so hopefully the podcast will come out fine. But sometimes I can't hear everything you're saying, so that's my fault for being the center. If we want to start with someone else at the center like Merrick, we can do that if you want.
Yeah, the voices are breaking up. Is it my internet or your internet?
It's probably my internet, but let's just try it, okay?
All right.
So we'll be right back in the Port Forward podcast. And Merrick, please call us all back. How does that sound?
Boop, boop, boop. Calling.
Okay, bye. Hello.
What's up?
Is Sam trying to join in?
Well,
no.
I just called group. It'll just go to voicemail or whatever.
Yeah. So, Davey, back up a couple seconds about your experience in Africa.
What was I saying?
Oh, yeah. You were talking about the housing. You were expecting to be in one kind of house.
I was expecting to be in the mud hut in the little village. I was in a little village, but I was in a legit, like, concrete block house with two rooms. And I actually had plumbing, but the water only came on once a week. So I'm happy to be back where I can throw stuff in a washing machine and forget about it instead of sitting out in the sun washing my clothes in a bucket waiting for the water to come back on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, let's see. But although, on that note, Peace Corps is an awesome experience. And if you're a developer or a writer or someone who wants 2 years of like unlimited free time, I mean, you still have to do your Peace Corps work. I was a teacher, so I was teaching half the day. But the rest of the day, you have a lot of time. So if you want to, like, go somewhere and learn a new language, not a programming language, but, like, a spoken language. I learned Swahili in Tanzania. And you want to help the world, and you want a ton of time, and you can just program whatever you want. You might not have internet, but you could do your own local programming like I did and just... Yeah, work on personal projects, do awesome stuff. So I would highly recommend Peace Corps to anyone who wants to do it. Is Ben trying to say something?
I am. I'm questioning if your audio, how Merrick, how does he sound to you?
It's a little better, but still intermittent.
Yeah, so David is Davey's internet, everybody out there in Port Forward podcast land. We've pinned it down to Davey's shitty internet.
Tell us about your connection there.
Yeah, let's do the connection round. Everybody talks about the connection round.
Well, he's in freaking America. God damn it. We should have fast internet.
Yeah.
Okay,
right.
I guess I can't talk too much shit because I actually had to go to another location to get some fast cable internet because I just moved.
So did I, dude. It's bullshit.
I just moved and I haven't hooked up new internet yet. Do you hear this, America? We want free, fast internet for all the people. And by America,
oh my God.
Whoever is listening. I guess Google. Google Fiber.
Yeah.
Come to Seriously. California. All of it. Do it all. Do it all. So to kind of pick up...
Well, no, let's focus on internet. You're not done. So you had to go. Okay. So, Davey, let's tell us about your internet, and then I'll give you my shitty internet story.
Yeah.
What?
I can't hear you guys very well.
Oh, crap.
Oh. Whoa, speaking of connections, Merrick, usually it's UDP, and you and I we're direct, which is good, because it's not UDP relay. If it says UDP relay in Skype, that means that it's bad, all bad. Mm. But that's for my output. My input from you is run over TCP. Like, I've never seen that before, and I don't know, like... Doesn't make sense to me. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know.
Cool. So should I tell you about my internet, everybody?
Yes.
All right. So I was running the awesome Ethernet over power adapter that you and I talked about last time. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that ended up getting pulled by my welcoming roommate, which is fucking awesome.
What?
Well, they had the house has shitty internet, or has had really shitty internet, and finally they upgraded and got a better, you know, router, a modem, or a wireless router, so I could actually, my devices in my room would sort of work, mm-hmm. and they got a better modem. And when they did, the subnet changed on the wireless router from .0.1.2 to 1.1. And I was using that other subnet to have my own shit going on. And so my little, there was a device at the other end of my bridge over the electrical wires, and that happened to be having an IP conflict, and so they were pissed. My roommate was like, it's fucking, you're ruining our internet, and like basically gave it back to me, and now I can't use it again.
That's
so, super gay. Luckily, I'm leaving. Also, I will say that the Wi-Fi is now working from my room, sort of, so I'm managing. I'm not complaining or pissing, but now I cannot record podcasts at home. So until I move, I'm not going to be able to record with you guys again, which should be soon, so that's cool.
Yeah, roommates are obviously a whole different ball of wax. It's super hit or miss, and you never know until you freaking live with them.
Oh, well.
It happens.
That's super annoying. So I'm now on wireless, but it's seemed to be fine. I mean, my ping to you is real good.
Are you work or Starbucks? Where the hell
so
are you?
I'm at work under a blanket fort.
Blanket fort. Nice.
Davey, remember Blanket Fort? Can you hear me, Davey? I think that's no.
I hear you guys are breaking up, so I can't hear exactly what you're saying. You said Davey, I heard maybe, and I was like, huh? What? Maybe you said my name.
Gotcha.
Remember the Blanket Fort,
Davey? I do remember your Blanket Fort. You sent me a picture, and it looks awesome. I wish I was there. You have a sign up saying no fat girls allowed outside yet?
No, but at one point, there were only the two. So our two girls work for me, our two females, if you, or women, or whatever you want to call them. And they were in the office first, and they put a sign on the door that said, no boys allowed, because they were being cute. And it was like...
Gotcha.
So the sign is floating around the office, but it's the reverse gender, so...
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Were you...
Was I what? Offended what?
Offended.
No, I laughed. It was funny. Everybody's really cool at work, kind of like Merrick's. We're all pretty much in the same age range, you know, and we all just hang out and have fun and throw balls around outside and frisbees and stuff. So that's a really fun place to work.
Oh, we just got freaking yelled at for ball in the parking lot, ball in the hole. It's a bunch of bullshit.
Really?
There's a freaking cranky old man next door upstairs, and it's not even our main building. It's like we have part of this second building because we are too big and we're looking for a new place to move. And this, like, 80-year-old insurance salesman was yelling at us for throwing a football around the parking lot. And he's kind of being a dick about it. Like, one of our graphic designers, cool guy named Ryan, like, kind of got ambushed and yelled at by this old guy. And Ryan's, like, the nicest guy in the world, so he wouldn't really say anything. But I heard about it, and I was like, well, fuck that guy. And then later, we were playing catch again, and he came out to yell again. And, like, the other guys were like, oh, crap. And they kind of, like, walked around the corner, like, just, we're going to ignore this. And the old man's like, hey, you shouldn't be playing ball out here. This is a parking lot, not a swing set park where you play. And I'm like, oh, this is a parking lot? And he's like, yeah, you're not supposed to play ball here. I'm like, you're sure this isn't a park? He's like, yeah, I know this isn't a park. I'm like, this is a parking lot. And I was, like, just being super smart-ass just because I was annoyed with him. And, like, seriously, we went, like, three rounds of that exact same sentence, like, changed order just a little bit before he's like, you sure are smart-ass. And I, like, seriously had to bite my tongue because I was going to be like, you sure are a cranky old man. But I was just like, sounds good. Cool story, bro. And I walked away. And I was like, all right, well, the neighbor doesn't
that's
like
awesome.
Us. But anyway, it's kind of funny.
Hold on a second, dude.
What?
After anybody on the podcast goes on a long tirade, Davey slows down.
I can't wait.
So we just have to use short bursts.
Yes.
Okay. So the new sentence limits how many words?
One.
Okay, so it's not...
Shit.
We got feed burners, so it'll sound okay at the end, but we won't understand each other.
Well, okay. That works.
But
there's actually
a conversation, old shitty.
Then we should just tell stories to each other.
Okay, so we should like take turns then.
I don't know. What the fuck are we supposed to do? It's like a math problem.
Ben, Merrick, and David are all on three different trains heading towards San Diego. Oh, God. What's funny, too, is I kind of hated math when I was younger. Not kind of, actually a lot, because I couldn't understand how it related to the real world. And now I'm like, oh,
you know what's
shit,
funny?
I need to go and learn it all again, because, wow.
Everybody says that, and they get pissed off at math. And I was kind of always like, I just kind of bought it at face value, and it's really true, but like, I don't know. That never pissed me off about math. It was hard, and I was like, this is a...
No, it is, dude. Calculus is no walk in the park. I remember being in freaking calculus and going, good. But I'm flirting with the idea of just brushing up on some stuff, because when it comes to, you know, algorithms and making shit faster, the more you understand, the lower you go on those levels, the crazier your shit's going to be. So who knows?
Cool. So how's it work for everybody?
I can't hear you guys for shit.
Damn. I said like a lot of words, way more than one. It's my fault.
Well, Davey, how's work?
We could text them in like the window and tell them to talk.
Oh my god, dude. I can't believe this is so annoying. I don't even want to fucking record this, dude.
You want to try again with you when you guys can like internet? When you can like go online?
Maybe we should just cut it short and then we'll do it again and I'll release
this. This could be episode 29.5, a preview of episode 30 or some shit like that.
Man, sure.
Better net.
Well, I mean, I could fucking still do the Node.js walkthrough.
I mean, and I was going to do a walkthrough for the perfect way to do version control on FTP. Maybe we should just say goodbye to Davey, talk to him for another bit, and then just do on our own.
I can hear you guys better now. Can you hear me well?
Okay.
Did you go closer to the McDonald's Wi-Fi you're using?
No, I shut off the Wi-Fi in the front of the house. I think about Netflix movie, and it was eating all the bandwidth. They're going to come down in a second and ask me to fix it, but...
Nice.
Your parents?
No, Netflix will eat some shit up for sure. I was stoked about when I started messing around with my Nexus 4 is I was like, oh, you know, I wonder what I have to do to, like, get, you know, a Wi-Fi hotspot out of this thing. And I was remembering back to the jailbreaking, pain-in-the-ass iOS days, and, like, I Google it, and there's a tutorial, and there's, like, one step. It's like, click in your settings and turn on a Wi-Fi hotspot. I'm like, no fucking way. And it blew my mind. I was like, this is amazing. So that's what I do in my new house. And like night, you know, whatever night it was when I fucking, my mind was blown by how easy it was to turn on an Android hotspot. I just fired up the old laptop, got on Netflix, watched a whole movie. I burned through like 3.5 gigs of just AT&T data plan. And I was like, awesome. So awesome. They even sent me a little text warning saying, oh, hello there, friendly neighbor. You just used the rest of your... Or you just used this much data plan out of this much.
Your quota.
I'm actually on a grandfathered unlimited plan, so it's technically unlimited, but the warning was like, hey, if you go past 5 gigs in a month, we're going to slow your shit down. And I was like, whatever, but...
They tap your bandwidth after 5 gigs.
Yeah, that's what
they'll do it, and they do it.
I'm totally going to. I'm just going to go put Netflix on, just not even watch it. I remember reading somewhere once on the internet that there's a movie that's 40 hours long, and I doubt Netflix has that shit. But if there is, I'm going to watch it, or just let my laptop run, just so I can feel like I can just, you know, use a little teeny bit of what I've been paying AT&T $100 a month for the past however many years. God damn it.
Pay enough.
Oh man. So Davey, how's work and stuff?
Unemployment is awesome.
Okay.
But you still have lots of time on your hands.
Oh yeah.
Nice.
So I've been teaching myself some Python.
Dude, I can hear you perfect now. And while we have you, why don't we go back to the damn story? Okay. So we don't know who you are.
Sent you an email.
Yeah.
You guys look at the website wondering who the fuck I am.
We emailed you a couple times back saying, oh, shit, this is awesome. You should come on the podcast, this and that, this and that. And the whole time, he's, you know, not releasing his identity. And so we're like, still like, who is this guy and why can't we know who he is? This is like even weirder now. And it was good fun.
Yeah. It was awesome.
So, but there's more, though, because someone owes someone else some Bitcoins. And I want to know what the hell is wrong with that.
The story continues. I feel like
Where was I? It was in my last job. I was working on that crazy project I told you guys about in one of the back shows, and
some Drupal.
Yeah, I was doing some crazy next-level Drupal migration stuff, and I was thinking, hey, I could use a hand with this stuff, and if someone has the time and interest to build some shit like this from scratch and, you know, do it for fun, then I think this person could be hired by me to help me. So I totally made him an offer. I'm like, hey, help me with the shit I'm working on here at work, and I'll pay you, and it'll be awesome. And we had either recently talked about Bitcoin on the show or something or another, and he's like, oh, yeah, I'll just work for a couple Bitcoins an hour was the rate. And I'm like, oh, stoked. And I don't remember if it was like $5 or $10 an hour at the time. And I was like, oh, yeah, totally down with that. And you didn't have tons of experience, but I totally wasn't worried about that because I was learning it too, and it was perfect to, you know, have your help with that. And so you were out cranking out there on the other side of the world on just like, I've mentioned the book before, and it's Tim Ferriss, The 4-Hour Workweek, and he goes into all that outsourcing stuff and, you know, outsourcing your job and making your life better. And I was like on this track, and I was super stoked because I had, you know, I had a helper now. And I was, you know, paying him in bitcoins. I didn't even know who. Well, I guess I did kind of find out who you were, I think.
Before we started working, you wanted to know who I was just because.
Just in case, yeah, because obviously a company project. And there was going to be, you know, some sort of information transversing here.
But the funny part is, though, is that he told you his name or whatever,
yeah,
and he probably told you that he was friends with me.
Yeah, and
But you never called me and be like, hey, do you know this David guy?
No, I wanted to keep it going, so I was just like, well, this is going to be a separate thing. Let's just keep the anonymous thing going for the podcast, and then you and me will have the separate arrangement on the side. Because I thought it was fun. It was good fun to be like, who is this random person? Why can't we know who they are? So
what's interesting is I'm looking at the podcast back episodes on my podcast device on my iPhone, David.
Yeah.
And it says that episode 23, which is Google Dart Hackathon, on May 13th, 2012, that was the day when you Google chatted me from packets at port FWD podcast in Google chat. And he's like, hey, I'm chatting from the podcast. And I was like, who the fuck is this guy intruding on my empire over here or whatever?
Awesome. And so in the beginning, looking at this email thread here, which we probably can just freaking post online for entertainment if you people want it. You people. We like are wondering if it's Sam in the beginning. And we like, one of us says, hey, Sam, is this you? Or something like that. And he's like, he does the little O dot big O exclamation point question mark. And he's like, well, you can be rest assured it is me since I couldn't program or script my way out of a wet paper bag. And and then I write back, you know, the first email is the biggest clue, this and that. And Ben gets back to me and he's like, Sam says, I can't really think of anyone who'd do something like this. I really can't. What the fuck, barbecue?
So wait, who said it was the biggest clue? Did you say that, Mary?
So
what was the clue that I could have optionally picked up on but I missed?
The structure and the presentation of the initial email where he, you know, kind of...
Yeah, he says the funny...
The presentation and all that.
Right, right.
Like, you know, obviously he had lots of time in his hands, like so that's where the creativity came from, but it was still awesome. So, so that was good fun. So, I guess...
Wait, Davey, what were you going to say?
I said, yeah, I had way too much time on my hands, which ended up in that crazy email.
It was still awesome. I mean, as far as random emails I've ever gotten in my life, that's the best one so far off the top of my head. If I, you know, search through the Google archives, I might come up with some crazy shit. But, I mean, usually, you know, you can fit emails into certain categories where you're like, okay, I understand this and I know what this is. Your brain's like, okay with it. But this email was just like, wait, what? It took so much, like, thinking out of the box to figure out what was going on. Just because it was, like, something you expect the... You know, if you can imagine the Joker in any one of the better Batman movies, if he were to send someone an email, it would kind of sound like this.
It is. It's kind of like a ransom note, but yeah. He's like, here, I have a present for you.
Yeah, and by the way, it's a complete copy of your website. It's like, what the holy shit? And so that's why when Ben or Sam, whoever told me first to email me, I clicked on it, and I was like, wait, did you build this, or what is this? Like, it took a little bit, but it was awesome. So yeah, I brought David on board. I outsourced a little bit of my job at the time to him, and it was sweet because he got to play around and start learning some Drupal, and I got to some of the easier stuff passed down to him so I could work on the other more complicated shit, and I was stoked. And now here's the fascinating part about all that. He, you know, kept track of his hours and recorded them. And
he was up to
two Bitcoins an hour. And, you know.
So that's $300 an hour? No, $350 an hour right now, because the price is $175.
Yeah. Now. But then it was different, and that's what I'm getting to. So and when it was all said and done, I feel like we left off at, you know, just rounded to 30 hours is what he told me, if I remember correctly. And I was like, oh, sweet, you know, I'll pay you soon. And even though I wasn't making that much of that job, it wasn't that big a deal for me to come up with the, you know, the total then, which would have been whatever it was, to small.
Wait.
If it was five.
Wait. he just dropped off the call.
Oh, he did?
Hello.
Hello.
Okay. Sweet. So I lost you back there.
Yeah, I got.
Then I lost Ben, and then I was talking to myself, and then I realized it, and then I cursed out loud because, god damn it. But anyway, I was stoked to have David helping me, and at the time, you know, we finished up and we rounded off. If I recall something, where it was roughly like I owed him for 30 hours. And at the time, Bitcoin was $5, so that was $10 an hour, two Bitcoins an hour, 300 total. And I was super happy to have his help for that, and it was awesome. And even though I was not making the greatest money at that job, I could still, like, you know, set aside $300 and pay him. And I flashed on it, like, a couple times at least, like, over the next coming paychecks. Like, oh, shit, I got to pay him, too. I got to pay David, And then, you know, one thing led to another, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to pay you soon, And Bitcoin is creeping all the while, but, you know, slowly. This was back in the, oh, you know, it's up to $7. It's up to $8. I'm like, oh, cool, he got a raise, you know. Haha, he got a raise, cool. And then fast forward, here we are now. I still haven't paid him. Bitcoin is a fucking $1 million of Bitcoin or whatever the last goddamn quoted price is, and I owe David everything. Everything. I owe him all.
$191 at this point.
Yeah, so that's a lot of money. And, hey, I'm going to pay him. One day, one way or another, I'm going to pay him goddamn two Bitcoins, 30 hour. I'm going to pay him 60 Bitcoins. So, yeah, that's what I owe David right now. And I was planning on being rich either way, so David's stoked now because he was, you know, dicking around online and getting paid to do it. And, you know, one way or another, you're going to be rich now too, David. So there you go.
The Bitcoin did do a little bit of a crash today.
Yeah, it was jumping around today. I was watching that.
Happens value?
No, I mean, it lost like $100 from the high twos or something.
Went from $259 down to $100.
Yeah. So, I mean, and, you know, there was, of course, people.
Do you think that $100 is the new floor? Like, when do you buy? If you wanted to buy Bitcoin, when would you buy it?
No. It's $15. I told myself, oh, this is a bubble. It's going to crash soon. I'm going to wait till it's back down to $5. And then it on going up.
That's the thing. You have to. It depends on your how you feel about gambling. So tell me what you how you feel about gambling, and then I can answer that question to you.
It's fun.
Okay. And how much money would you go to Vegas and feel okay with burning through in a night?
I mean, in Vegas, if I'm going to Vegas, which I don't go, but I'd probably spend $200 or $300 a night,
like Tahoe whatever. Or any place where you could gamble.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah.
But I only
so
once
take
a year, right?
take
so.
That. You take your total amount. You'd be totally willing to bet on black at fucking roulette. And okay. Then that is a safe amount you can invest in Bitcoin at whenever you feel like it's a good time to buy.
All right. So I really like that. I like that a lot.
It's a good sanity check.
Wait for David to talk to you. Jesus Christ.
No, I was interjecting, but I was going to say, yeah, only put in as much as you're willing to lose.
Okay.
I
need advice.
I want a recommendation on a bet. One thing that I've bet on is the alternate coins. I don't know if you guys looked into this, but there's other cryptocurrency like Litecoin. Namecoin.
Nice. So, which ones do you like out of what you tried, and tell us what you know about that?
I like Litecoin.
Okay.
It's a lot like Bitcoin. It uses proof of work, but instead of using the SHA-256 algorithm, it uses the script algorithm. So it's really memory intensive. So
it's a memory hard problem, right?
So all these ASIC miners that are coming out and are going to destroy the hash rate on Bitcoin are not going to be able to work on Litecoin, and it's expensive to add all this memory to an ASIC miner. So they're not likely to make ASIC miners for Litecoin anytime soon. So you're there.
So this is a thing, right? So if you buy an ASIC miner, you're good on this market, but this market eventually is going to hit the top, and then the value is what, going to keep going up? Or is it going to crash when no one can mine anymore, I wonder?
That, well, even the first jump is a bit much at this point, because ASIC miners are still kind of vaporware. Supposedly, the one company started shipping them, but it's super, like, sketchy. Yeah. Like, ASIC miners, I think, are about to explode, but it depends on who can ship and how many they can ship. And, you know, the ones we were talking about in the last episode, they appear to be real, but they're still so scarce, it's not like a for sure thing. So it's the graphics card mining isn't done as far as Bitcoin is concerned yet, but once ASICs start to come out in numbers, then it will be. Just
ASICs are definitely real. You can look at the hash rate, and it's doubled in the last, like, 2 months. So obviously someone has an amazing machine that can hash like crazy.
Oh, okay.
So you
can
tell,
you know,
from the market that they're out. I bet you could look and see what the numbers were.
Yeah.
Right? You can say, this is the power, this is how many they had in stock, and then, you know, this is what the hash rate jumped by.
Right. Nice.
So the hash rate is basically it tells you how much compute power there is on the network. And for it to double in a couple months, I don't think there's that many people buying video cards.
Graphics cards.
Things.
Gotcha.
So there's three main ASIC companies. There's Avalon ASIC, there's Butterfly Labs, and then there's the ASIC Miner Group. Avalon is the one that has recently supposedly shipped these units, and I'm pretty sure they have. Butterfly Labs has kept on delaying their shipping their units. They're not out yet. I'm pretty sure they're vaporware because they just have like an open pre-order. Anyone can buy it, and they don't have like a cap on how many you can buy. And then the third group is ASIC Miner Group, and they're keeping the miners themselves, which is a bit different. And they're letting people buy shares or like stock in their company.
Oh, that sounds awesome, dude.
But I think all those shares have already been sold. They actually got sold on a GLBSE, which is used to be a Bitcoin-based stock exchange for companies, but that went under.
So I wonder, so let's just fast forward into the future, okay? So yeah. Bitcoin gets halved. As the number gets, as you discover half more, the hardness goes up, right? Is that kind of how it works?
Yeah.
Or no, your reward, the reward for solving a block gets halved. Yeah.
But when does that happen? And it's so asymptotically, so you'll never hit the bottom, basically, right?
It's to space out the discovery,
right, so
or mining of all the currency
every 10 minutes,
between,
right?
Now.
So there's supposed to be a block every 10 minutes that's discovered.
Yeah.
Isn't that what it is?
And the difficulty changes so that the block should be only every 10 minutes.
But the payout changes, though, too.
Yeah, so after a certain number of blocks, I forget the number, it halves. So it's, yeah.
I think it's half the number. Once you get halfway through the blockchain, that's the remaining blockchain, it gets twice as hard.
Yeah.
Or you get
half the reward.
Half the reward.
Yeah.
So each time you get halfway through the remaining portion of Bitcoins, the reward gets cut in half.
Yeah.
And so in the day when we first talked about it, was it 50 Bitcoins?
But think about it, though. That doesn't cut the supply. That doesn't change anything to do with the supply. The supply is always fixed, regardless of how many years it takes to get to a point where it's like not worth to mine anymore.
Mm-hmm. Or no, once it's been completely mined.
The idea is, yeah, there's 21 million coins total going to be created, and it's supposed to end in the year 2140.
That's totally nuts.
And by that time, there's supposed to be a large enough market so that the fees that you pay for sending Bitcoin should pay the miners to keep them going.
Because the fractional value, the fees are fractional values, but they still...
Whoever mines the block gets all the fees.
Gets the fees, right. So that's so interesting. But so if you think about and it's on a time basis?
Yeah, the year 2140 is when the last.
Okay, so I guess I maybe misspoke, but that means that until then, that means you can't just build a huge network and just solve the whole blockchain, right?
No, because difficulty would skyrocket and it would slow itself down.
Yeah, it adapts to the
network hash rate.
So when is Litecoin going to be solved? Do we know? And when will people switch over? Or will people switch over to Litecoin once memory hard?
Well, it already has people, right?
Yeah, there's tons of people on Litecoin already. The good thing about Litecoin is that they have more frequent blocks.
Hello?
Damn. Well,
Wait for him. You might still be talking. He might have dropped.
Skype just said there's a problem with this call.
Okay, so he's done. He's done.
Hold on while we try to get the call back.
I'm furious right now, by the way.
It sucks. Oh, I got the picture of your blanket for it. That she looks pretty sweet, man.
Fucking funny.
So is that to combat echoes too?
That's the idea. I can still hear the room echoing so hard. I wish I was at home.
No, I'm in a tile room right now, so you're probably gonna have some echoes on my end, which I apologize about too. But you got fucking three fucking computers set up on your damn desktop.
It's just two with a second.
Oh,
there.
Second monitor. Okay, cool.
It'd be sick if they were all the same size, even though they were different OSs, and I could just use Synergy.
That would be sweet.
Yeah.
Synergy is pretty awesome.
Benji, you know, Benji was on, I don't know if you were on that episode, but he was on an early podcast.
I don't think I was on that one.
He talked about, he used to use Synergy at home, and he said it was kind of a pain to set up, but it was totally worth it.
Yeah. It is. It is a pain, and it is awesome, dude. You want me to call you guys back?
Have you used Synergy?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Fuck, I'm jealous.
It's totally awesome.
Why don't we call him back and finish up and say goodbye, I guess.
Okay.
At least to him.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, bye. So I wonder does anyone know when Litecoin is supposed to end?
No, I was reading about it today briefly. I probably don't know as much as David, but
hello.
Hey, you're back.
I don't know what happened, but
what happened is we forgot to test the internet because Ben was really busy yesterday. You guys all might out there in podcast land might think I'm a bad host because I didn't test the connection to the people we call prehand. Yeah.
Well, it changes every day, so there's no way to pre-test it.
Why does it change every day?
Different use. I don't know. Different time of day. You know.
I see. Well, Netflix.
I forgive you, Ben.
It's not my fault.
Wait. So, David, tell us more what you know about Litecoin.
What did I get cut off?
It's different because it's memory intensive.
All right. So yeah, it's using the Script algorithm instead of the SHA 256. Which uses a lot of RAM, and that can't be added to ASIC miners easily, so it's safe from ASICs for a while. Mm. They have more frequent blocks, so it's every 2.5 minutes instead of the 10-minute block rate like in Bitcoin. So your coin gets sent a lot faster when you buy something.
Nice.
And there's going to be 4 times as many Litecoin produced as Bitcoin. So there's going to be 84 million Litecoin versus the 21 million.
And does that mean it's a bigger hash? Or no? It doesn't even matter, does it?
What's the timeline?
I don't know when the last Litecoin is supposed to be mined.
Okay.
But
well, Davey, isn't what's Bitcoin on SHA 256 or 1?
Yeah, 256.
Doesn't that mean that there's 256 bytes, and if the difficulty goes such that you've run out of 256 bytes of all zeros, I guess, like if you can just solve that hash instantly,
they use two different ways to change the difficulty. Zeros. And they have another method. I think they change the endianness of the integer that you create, and it has to be under a certain value. That's how you do the minor changes in the difficulty. So it's not just leading zeros. There's other ways to change the difficulty.
So if it has to be under a certain value, then you can just randomly pick a value. What if the value is one? What if it's so easy to guess that the value is so hard to hit that it goes down to one? Like you only have 256 bits worth of. I'm just saying, is that possible?
Probably, but you probably have to have every computer in the world.
But what if it's some next level shit that solves the hash?
To create this hashing rate that would make the difficulty go up that high. I don't know the actual math behind it right now.
Yeah, based on the people who are critiquing various aspects of this whole adventure online, Ben, they have numerous concerns, and I haven't actually read anything about what you just mentioned, so that's not a problem, is my non-answer.
Cool.
I don't think that's a problem. There's other problems, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. All kinds of stuff.
So it almost makes me wonder if, because there's, twice or 4x Litecoin, if they pushed out the timeline too, or how that works. That's interesting. But it's cool that I guess you can mine, if you had a graphics card-based setup, you could mine either or both and switch back and forth and do what you want, which is cool.
Lots of people are jumping to Litecoin from Bitcoin because of all the ASIC miners coming out, mm-hmm. the difficulty is going up, and Litecoin is more profitable.
Isn't it better to just have an ASIC miner than to jump ship?
Well, ASIC miners are kind of hard to get right now, but I would agree with you.
Okay.
You can get one. Yeah, you basically have a money printing machine at this point.
Motherfucking Bitcoin machine! I want ASIC, goddamn the first ASIC miner so much.
It's 65 gigahash. The first one that's out right now.
Yeah.
Actually, that's 4 Bitcoin a day.
Yeah.
Which is like $600 a day.
Yep.
That's ridiculous. I don't see how the company sends these out. Why wouldn't they just keep them?
Well, that's why they changed their pricing scheme to 75 Bitcoins.
Because they can't pay. They can't, Davey, I know why. Because they can't pay for that on the first round. But right. For the second round, when they're financing the second round with the first round, I bet you the second round of manufacture, they'll keep a bunch for themselves.
Yeah.
Right? It's like VC. And the funny part is that the third round is paid for in Bitcoins, and it's $12,000 right now.
75 times whatever
the goddamn rate is. No, that's $12,000, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were debating whether to keep the third round themselves for a while or send it out. I think there's a number of reasons why they want to send it out. One is they're based in China, and if China has more than 50% hash rate, lots of people are going to probably leave Bitcoin.
Goddamn Chinese hackers.
Are you kidding me? They couldn't move offshore. They can't set up power floating on a fucking island with a satellite uplink.
Power floating island. That's what I want too. ASIC powered floating island. Oh man.
I mean, why not? Fucking Titanic. What was it? Waterworld. That shit.
Dude, I am so ready to build an ASIC island in the ocean. We just need an engineer to
anchor or whatever.
I will totally be in charge of island defenses. I'm gonna have to leave the actual ASIC floating part to you guys, but I will fucking fortify that shit for real. No, no smokers would break into our floating fortress. I guarantee you that shit. Oh man, smokers, too funny.
That's good times.
So yeah, my bet's on Litecoin just because lots of miners are moving over to it. It already has a pretty big gambling and black market back end. They've got their own version of the Silk Route, which is called Atlantis.
Nice.
Interesting. You know what? Speaking of illicit and illegal things, have you guys heard about what's going on in Cyprus right now? The country of Cyprus?
Oh, well, no, that's been part of the speculation as to why Bitcoin has been going nuts, is due to people pissed at their native currencies, and when the governments get all weird about, oh, hey, by the way, it's going to be hard for you to get your money because we're powerful and you're weak, they're like, oh, fuck you, and take your goddamn Cyprian dollars or whatever the shit we call them with you.
Cypriots or whatever.
And then they go online and they put their savings into Bitcoin, and then the price skyrockets, and then I owe David $50 million. But yeah, no, that's... People are speculating that the financial oddities or unfortunate whatever circumstances that are going on in the various little European countries are driving people to cryptocurrency, and that's cool to me because I think I totally envision these not only Bitcoin but other various cryptocurrencies as here to stay. It's just the freedom of it. Technically it's possible for governments to squash it now, and it would suck, but...
All they can squash is the exchanges, so if you can't get money in or out of it, then the digital part falls down, but it's like you can't stop Napster.
Totally.
Well, Napster was centralized, but you can't stop BitTorrent, right?
Yeah, peer-to-peer, that's what's glorious about it, and I think it's here to stay, and that's why I'm pissed. On my old desktop, I think I had 0.00001 BTC I lost when I fucking didn't back that shit up, so that sucks, because now that's worth, like, at least lunch somewhere. But yeah, so it'll be interesting to watch the Bitcoin market develop, and I'm curious to read more about Litecoin too, and find out what's up with that. I would love to mine both, and I want to build an ASIC miner out of paperclips and Arduinos, but I somehow feel that's not going to work out. So we'll see.
Tell me when you get that going.
What the specs are on it?
Yeah.
Well, Davey knows a little bit of hardware, dude. I mean, I'm sure you could lay down some silicone if you wanted to.
I dreamed of making an ASIC miner, but I have no background in ASIC development, so.
God.
Mark Simonian does, dude.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, dude.
Let's get
him. He works at Intel doing verification for Intel.
Let's get him on the show. We gotta find out.
Has better internet at Intel than fucking Davey.
We have to. No offense, David. You're cool and all, but we couldn't hear you. Maybe with his powers, with our powers combined, the floating ASIC island is a possibility. So we'll have to look into that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So Davey, there's one last part to this story, which we've been weaving in and out of horrible internet. The last part is that after CakePHP, what happened with the podcast website? What was the next level?
You liked the layout, but you didn't want to deal with migrating over to my custom-built hodgepodge of CakePHP stuff. So you, I built a WordPress theme for you guys. And just
you built the whole thing again.
Well, it's super easy because the first site I built in Bootstrap, Twitter's Bootstrap CSS framework, so it's just I just redid it.
And you found cache underscore, right? Or underscore?
Oh, yeah, underscore theme, which was a boilerplate HTML5 theme, and then I built some custom plugins for the Bitcoin ticker and the Twitter thing that says what your latest tweet was.
Which is super cool. So wait, was custom what now for the Twitter thing?
They're just plugins that I made for... They're just WordPress.
Do you have those plugins in their own repo?
They're actually built into the theme. So when you install the theme, it automatically installs the plugins. But yeah, they're in the repo on my GitHub.
That would be a cool thing to contribute back to the WordPress store.
I'm pretty sure they already have Twitter plugins.
Well, still, dude, it's it's part of your GitHub portfolio.
Totally,
right?
Which is important because I don't have one right now.
And you can say, look, I did this whole crazy project while I was in the Peace Corps, and I contributed back to open source and my favorite podcast or whatever. Like, you could say that in the interview, and they'd be like, oh, that's really cool. We're going to hire you.
That was a good voice.
That's exactly what the interview is going to sound like.
Oh, man.
So have you gotten any contacts from people in the Bay Area? Any correspondence yet?
I have gotten one callback from a Craigslist ad that I replied to from some guy in Berkeley who wants some front-end UX work. But I have
see. Merrick, how's your... Do you guys need someone hardcore at your shop, Merrick?
We constantly need people. So
interview Mr. David Secret, maybe?
Yes, I need to go ask who we need. I know we just lost, randomly enough, both our graphic designers for different reasons. And so, I don't know if you know Photoshop or not, David, but... yeah, we're...
Get your foot in the door.
We're in a serious need there, and then I feel like we just pick someone up, but at the same time, I don't know... You know what our exact growth rate is, but at the same, I totally can find out and put a good word in. So,
I do full stack, but I'm more comfortable with like back end.
Well, you know, same here. It's, you know, I'll totally ask and find out because I'd be stoked.
I mean, looking for a job.
Speaking of crap,
there's okay, better sorry. Internet in the Bay Area than San Diego. Yes, obviously,
that's why I'm moving.
Yeah.
Who drew the little Twitter bird on the stick on the website?
I drew that.
That's so nuts, dude.
So yeah, that's back to the craziness. He not only hand built the whole site using a new framework, but he also hand drew the theme and then put the theme on the new site that he built, hand built. And then we're like, oh, that's amazing. But can you build it again in this other place? Because
so I'm looking at the title port for podcast and the shadows under all the letters. Did you put the shadows on Photoshop or did you draw the shadows too?
Put those in GIMP. Yeah,
that's nice. So awesome.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah, I played a lot. It was flat at first, and then I added shadows and everything, and it looked a little bit better. So I kept it.
Looks a lot better, dude. It looks really clutch. So you were on GIMP. You also for the WordPress phase, you had to install an entire offline WordPress instance in order to make it happen, right?
Yeah. That was super simple.
Sure, but I mean, for some people, like, I don't know. Like, it's always cool to talk to someone like, oh yeah, I ran my own server on my own Windows or whatever. Like, I figured it out. Like, that's always cool when someone's at that level, at least for, like, you know, technical whatever.
Yeah. It's fun.
I was going to give you a tutorial on how to do it, but you were like way ahead of me because we have a tutorial on how to do that here. Join me just in our wiki. So if I'm going, I want to do that, I know how to do it, right? But yeah.
I think I just threw up a VM. Or actually, for that, I used a Windows, a WAMP stack that had MySQL already in it. I just threw WordPress on there real easy.
And there's another part of the story, which is I also recruited David Secra for some programming work because we both like outsourcing to
Nice.
David helped me here, joined me with a very crucial part of our whole system, which is the logging system. Now, I was talking to a programmer at another startup, and they said that all of their logs were just written to a text file. Okay, and they went and post-processed the text files, and then they would do log shipping, so they would ship all the text files from the workers back to central whatever storage and then post-process it. And I was like, that sounds like the worst idea in the whole world. I was like, why would you do that? It's like so much work. So I said, well, why not put it in a NoSQL database? Also because when I was in an investor meeting for JoinMe, I said, oh, I haven't decided what I'm going to do for logging. It was a while ago. And he was like, oh, why don't you don't put it in MySQL, put it in NoSQL, put it in a MapReduce database. And I was like, MapReduce, that's so perfect. So the logging that we do was all in a database called CouchDB. And I may or may not have chosen it for the right or wrong reasons. It seems to not perform as well on multiple CPUs. But it's MapReduce, and it's in JavaScript, and it's super cool. And so I was like, hey, Davey, can you help me with this MapReduce JavaScript thing? And Davey helped out a lot. Isn't that right, dude?
Yeah, you sent me a copy of the database you had in CouchDB, and I just... Couch is really cool. They got... It's really good for what you actually picked the perfect NoSQL as far as I'm concerned, because it's good for lots of logs that don't change. If you use something like MongoDB if you want to change your data, or if you want
to read write,
yeah, or if you want
know that, that's so awesome. I'm glad I made that decision.
MongoDB is more good at traditional queries like SQL type queries, but Couch is perfect for MapReduce and for data that doesn't change like your logs. As far as I know, I might be
and
wrong.
So tell us about, so the logs, what the log is it's a bunch of different objects, and they're just converted instantly to JSON, and they just go straight into the log. And so I log all of the objects regarding, you know, the user, and these are all Java objects, the user and the activity that they're interacting with and all those things, and they just come out as straight up JSON. And you've got the URL, you've got the remote IP, you've got the execution time, basically you have all these different parameters. And then you have to write MapReduce views to what do you have to do with it, Davey?
Yeah, you basically build views in CouchDB, which is basically a MapReduce algorithm, which will take that JSON data and then spit out whatever you're looking for, depending on what MapReduce you use.
And then, so, sorry, yeah, no go.
And then from there, I used Couch. Actually, has its own built-in. Couch is an HTTP based interface, so it has
Futon. No, it's called Futon.
Yeah, Futon is the name of it, but it it has its own web server. That's the whole interface is
all of the inserts always are done through HTTP. There's no other way to do inserts.
Right. So basically you can add a document to the database, which is a website, and you have your website basically already on the database, and it has JavaScript. And there's a cool project built for it called Couch App, and you can put it right there on the database, and it has listeners so that whenever the database is updated, it can notify your JavaScript running in the browser, and you can do live updates from your database to your web app.
So for everybody who missed that, the Couch App is the equivalent of a virtual host in Apache. So in Apache, you have multiple virtual hosts, which can be different URLs and different whatever, and you put files, and they all have a root directory, et cetera, et cetera. In Couch, they have the same concept. You're basically making a little web server that's totally limited towards your app, and it basically lets you build an entire environment, and like Davey said, do live updates, and I'll pull all the data in JavaScript. But all of that is stored in JSON or in blob storage inside the database. It's really complex, but it's really cool.
And the coolest thing is that if you want to move your whole web app to a new data center, you can just clone.
Replicate.
Yeah, replicate was what it's called, right? I was blanking there. Replicate the database through the Couch interface to another CouchDB on another server, and you got the whole thing.
Including the web server, including the data.
Including everything.
So cool. So it's a really, really cool solution. And Davey built an app for JoinMe, which used HiCharts, if I remember correctly.
So there's a bunch of MapReduces. They get out basic like information like who logged in on what days, how many people, how many events were created today. And then I just throw all that data into HiCharts, and it does everything for me as far as statistics.
So cool. So clutch. And that's something I also think that we should open source, even though you know, obviously you're doing it for us and you'll be compensated, you know, with some amount of equity for that, obviously. But, you know, that's so cool. It's the coolest thing ever.
Don't owe him bitcoins. Learn from my mistakes.
I'm actually owing him equity. And we won't talk about it on the air, but David and I never actually agreed on compensation. But definitely, David, just so you know, there is compensation for you for the work that you did.
Hopefully, for your sake, your equity will go up faster than Bitcoin.
Thank you very much.
I hope so. I need a rich friend, goddammit. My friends are... relative to the 1%, all of my friends live under a bridge in a garbage can, to be honest. That's just where they're at, and it sucks. No offense. I mean, you guys included. We're all homeless compared to the 1%. It pisses me off because I want to be in a goddamn 1%. All right, rant over. Sorry.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I definitely want to work some more on that, on the CouchDB app that I'm working for you guys, but I got distracted learning some Python stuff.
So here's my strategy, Davey, and I'm not going to lie to you, okay? This is, I've been planning. You're like one of my pawns, okay? I want to get you a job in the city or in the Bay Area so you can come up and you can hang out and you can help us with Join Me, and then eventually we'll be able to pay you and you can leave them and work for me. That is my ultimate plan. So
sounds good to me.
I'm trying to get you fucking somewhere. I'm trying to hustle and get you up here because you definitely have the mindset and you have all the assets needed to be, you know, at the head of a company like Join Me or like I am at Join Me. It's really cool.
Yeah. I just don't have the experience. So it's just like, well, what have you done?
Well, you've done a lot of things.
Learn in a couple months and be up to speed.
No, you're really good at learning. I mean, honestly, I'm not trying to, you know, S your D too hard here, but it's
yeah, no, I totally agree. Experience is probably less of a thing than you would think when it comes to interviewing and getting a job.
Like, it's about selling yourself.
Yeah. And, you know, there's personality is important too, and you have that down, so you're good to go there. It's just a matter of, you know, conveying your past experiences, what, you know, you've done, what you've learned, and, you know, how you want to learn, and you're excited to learn this stuff, and believe it or not, it's your experience is, if I had to assign a ridiculous number, I'd say probably 25 to 50% of it, and no more of the whole getting a job anywhere thing.
Yeah. Well, hopefully I'll find one. I haven't started seriously.
You will. I mean, yeah, that's the thing. It's just, it was unknown to me until the last two jobs, and getting a job isn't as hard as I would have guessed. So you will be surprised. I'm sure as soon as you apply yourself, you'll be like, oh shit, I have offers, and then you have to, you know, just figure out where you want to work and what you want to do.
Then I have to get a real job.
Yeah, but it's in the Bay Area, and you'll be closer to the 1%, so what the hell do you care?
So I'm looking forward to moving up there.
Awesome. So Davey and I go way back. We are cool friends. What have we worked on in the past, dude?
I think it started out with MicroMouse, right?
So what? Tell Merrick what MicroMouse is.
So when you're doing an electrical engineering or computer engineering or any kind of engineering program at UC Davis, you have to do a senior design project, and we both chose to do MicroMouse, which is designing a small autonomous robot to solve a maze.
Nice.
And so we worked together on that, and we won.
So wait. Yeah, hold on. Don't fucking skip forward.
Did I blow it?
You blew it. The maze is, I always tell people it's 12 by 12 feet, but it's actually like 8 by 8 or 9 by 9 feet maze. It sounds cooler when it's bigger.
16 by 16.
That's what
block.
She said.
Yeah, it's blocks, but the blocks aren't a foot, right?
Like
so
6 or 8 inches or something. Yeah.
And the robot starts at one corner, and the solution is always the center, but the way that the walls are oriented are always changing. And you have to build the robot so it can measure all the walls, drive in the middle, not hit the walls or whatever, know where it is, always in the maze, and then find the center. So then it has to solve it on top of all that. And the hardest part was not solving the maze. The hardest part was making sure the robot didn't crash into the wall, make sure that it turned on. Yeah. It was nuts.
That's awesome.
And so David and I worked on a team with two other engineers, and we got first place in the competition at our school, which was really cool. And
didn't count.
What, Davey?
Three other engineers, actually. But one of them
One person did not count.
Yeah.
So, like, other people worked on other different projects too, right? Or whatever? You guys just picked this one, or how does that work?
Well, the team was of... Yeah, the team was of five or four. It was mm-hmm. of four. And then other people, other, you know, one of our friends did a different kind of robot challenge.
Okay.
And other people did other challenges. But our team of four, we got first place in, of all the people that chose to do MicroMouse,
nice.
We got first place.
Awesome.
So it was really cool. Some people didn't even get their robots assembled. They didn't even move. Remember that dude?
Yeah.
And it was really, really cool because it was my first experience at leading a team.
Nice.
And I was like, the thing that was that because it was MicroMouse, you got to build your own circuit board. And the previous summer, I had built a circuit board before for my summer internship. And I was like, listen, guys, we're going to make our own circuit board. We're going to buy our own parts. And it's going to be the best fucking mouse ever. Like, it's going to be so awesome. But it's in 6 months away as a deadline. And we're going to work every weekend.
Awesome.
And it was like a really interesting team building thing for me. And that was when I first tried to figure out what SVN was and install SVN all over the place, Subversion.
Yeah.
And we all use Subversion. And it was my first time like leading a team. And now that's what I mean. That's what I do right now in my job is I lead people. We all have SVN. I do code reviews. We do builds and commits. It's so crazy. And Davey was right there with me in the beginning. And I know it'll be really cool to work with him hopefully again. But for me personally, it was like the beginning of I couldn't even see what it was going to lead to, right? Because I was doing embedded. That was my thing. But now I'm in like software and startups or whatever. And it's so interesting to think about where that started.
That is cool.
It was a good time.
And we put little lights on the robot and they flashed. And so when the robot gets to the center of the maze, it does like a little light show dance. It's pretty cool.
You need to find that YouTube video and put it on in the show notes.
Dude, I know exactly where it is. We don't even have to find it. I can play it for you right now. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that should be in both your guys' resumes. It's the freaking MicroMouse challenge and win. That'd be sweet.
Davey, I still have the Hulk. I don't know that it boots or powers, but I can give it to you and you can show it to people for your...
The mouse itself?
I have the mouse, yeah.
Nice.
I think that's honestly how I got my job. Was like, here, I just dropped the mouse on the table. I built this.
See this? Did you turn it on, or did it just like...
I did turn it on. We need to charge... If you can charge the battery, I bet you it's still going to work.
That's awesome.
Oh, no, I robbed one of the sensors, so it might be missing a sensor.
Didn't you turn it into a scratch robot?
That was the idea, but actually I turned it into a video at Mosaic Industries. I pulled the sensor off and used it in a YouTube video to talk about measuring distance with a different microcontroller.
I watched that YouTube video.
You have?
Yeah.
Because I showed it to you.
You sent it to me and I watched it.
So that's something I'm sort of ashamed of those videos. I mean,
whatever. They're awesome. Who doesn't go back and look at any picture or video they've ever been in and go, oh my God. Seriously, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
But it is, I mean, I wish if I had made 10 or 15 of them, it would be like a really cool, like, signature to leave behind. But, I mean, the podcast is, you know, it's one of the, that's
yes,
kind of...
this will immortalize us later when people Google Homeless Island to try to find out its origins, they will know. They will be led to the podcast as a resource and they will understand the motives behind it.
That's a floating Bitcoin island.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that island too.
How did the basic island get started, Daddy? Google
it. Oh, man.
So Davey's a cool friend, and I've known you ever since college, and we both went to UC Davis, which is our alma mater. By the way, a lot of people here join me are UC Davis alums, dude. I'm sure you remember that. But
did you have a Davis bias when you were interviewing, or
it's honestly it was just the connections.
Oh, okay.
A lot of people filter down from that school to here.
Nice.
Yeah, just kind of ended up how it ended up working, but it's pretty cool. So is there anything else we want to say to Davey? Because I want to do some feedback and maybe we should wrap up. I don't
yeah.
even know.
Yeah, we should.
Merrick and I both have reviews that we want to do, but I don't know if you want to do this now, dude.
No, I want to. I'm 90% ready to do it and I could totally pull it off right now, but at the same time, I hit an error at the end and I want to find out why and make sure that shit I tell people is good to go. So there's that. Wow. And we're already an hour and a half deep.
Super deep.
Well, I mean,
you guys have had 3-hour shows before.
I know, but I feel like I don't. Who actually has that much time to listen to a whole show? I mean, Jesus, it's a good thing. I'm jealous. I wish I had time to listen to anything for that long. But
it's really funny because new people don't want really long shows, and then veteran listeners like want epic shows. So obviously, the solution is to record more individual shows to make everybody happier. But
I think
you know,
they're just the bite size. they're digestible. If someone's, I mean, you know, I don't know. I can't even begin to comprehend, but I tell us. Send us your every thought and wishes, dear listeners, to packets, packets at portforwardpodcast.com, and then we will know. We will know your wishes, and we will grant them upon you.
So, Davey, how do you feel? You're a listener.
I like long shows and short shows. I just pause it and come back if it's too long.
Mm. See, because he has a real podcast player, Merrick.
Dude, you were talking shit about people who went to the website and listened to it. Well, now you can talk shit to me because I don't even listen to the podcast. So I've seriously been wanting to. Like, I'm like, God, I wonder if I sound like an ass or what. I have no clue. One day I hope to find out, but who knows?
I haven't heard how Ben re-edits everything you say.
makes him sound cool and be like a retard. I totally wouldn't know. I'd have no clue. I'd be oblivious.
I had a couple things, I guess, before we close up. Last show, you might remember, there was a blue screen of death involved on my computer. Blue screening. Remember that?
Yeah.
And what I ended up with was a corrupt call burner wave.
Crazy.
And the wave was, I don't know, it was like a gig or however many, you know, megabytes it was. It was pretty big. And it was, Winamp was opening at 0 seconds long. Everyone was opening at 0 seconds long.
Oh, that sucks.
I was like, what do I do?
Did you fix that shit or what?
Oh yeah, I fucking fixed that shit, dude. So Audacity, you know Audacity, everybody. It's a really cool little audio program. I was on version like 1.6, and they've just bumped up to 2.x or 2.0. I don't know what they're on right now. And the 2.0 version has this new feature called Import Raw. So you just go and you file Import Raw, and you choose the file that you're about to import. And what it'll do is it asks you the bitrate. And so I actually put the bitrate in wrong the first time and just clicked OK, and my voice was like 2 octaves low, like it sounded fucked up. But what I did was I opened one of the good files that had been recorded and made it through, and I looked at the check the bitrate, and then when I went into Audacity and imported it, it came right in, dude. It was awesome.
Nice. Up until the crash or whatever?
Well, yeah, but I mean, at least I had the file.
You had the first part of it, yeah. That's sweet. Well,
the crash went on, so then I had to switch over and editing it over to your guys' side of the of the conversation. Because you guys were like, hello, what? I didn't expect to see that happen.
I know, right? With a day, homeless internet Sam and Merrick lost Ben.
But it was interesting because in the imported file, I mean, this makes sense, but the very first like microsecond of the file is like a blip of like bad, of a corrupt data. Because when Audacity imports it raw, it ignores the header, but the header is still there on the file.
Mm.
Or that either the header's corrupt or whatever it is.
Crazy.
So the first like thousands of a second was like a big like blip, and so I just deleted that and then edited it all together, and it was pretty cool.
Nice.
So that's a little tip on how to, you know, deal with corrupt waves out of call burner or other continuous recorders. I had another update for you guys. Last week we talked about the Jelly Bean. Remember that Kickstarter, anybody?
Yeah.
It's the thing that powers Davey.
I just said, how's that doing? Sorry.
They made their goal. They made their goal by last time, but I actually bought in onto the goal. And I get like I bought it at one of the higher levels, so I get like a custom colored one.
Nice.
I just wanted to go big or go home, so that's pretty cool. I spent over $100 on them, so hopefully that, you know, that works out for them. We'll see how that goes. It's my first Kickstarter.
Yeah, I love Kickstarter. I think I said that last time, so I'm going to reiterate my love because the creative types can get on there, and when they have a vision and they build something awesome, people rally behind them, and then they can build their awesome shit, and I love that shit because that's what I want to do.
So, hey, Merrick.
Yeah.
Also, last show we were talking about the MySQL daughters. Remember how MySQL is named after the two daughters of the creator?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I wonder if they're hot, dude.
Damn, we forgot to look that shit up.
Dude, I got a present for you in the doc, dude.
Really?
Yeah, I'm selecting it right now. I got pictures of both Mai and Maria SQL, or whatever the hell they're called.
Nuts. Oh, wait, but we don't know if he's 1%, right? I mean, obviously he's a legend and forever, you know, special, but I'm going to revise my daughter quest here, and she has to be from a 1% family, so sorry.
Gotcha. Are you seeing the daughters, dude? It's right here in the dock, dude.
Sorry, I was on eBay just now. the dock. Opening the dock.
Wow.
Podcast feedback. I'm doing something online and talking to someone on the headset. I think something's going on here. You said you highlighted that shit? Oh, yeah, there it is. Okay. Nice. I'll be damned.
So Mai, her first name is Mai, SQL, or MySQL, or SoCal, or whatever the hell her name is.
She's hot.
She looks Russian, all that could be wrong. And, you know, she's whatever. She's all right.
She's more than whatever. For all the people out there who don't know, Ben might be a little modest about his ratings of things in this instance.
We'll see. And then...
We'll see.
All right, we'll see. Little Maria.
I only clicked on the first one. Let me find.
Click on the second one, cocksucker.
God, too many tabs open and shit.
Dude, I fucking wanted the podcast and follow up on something from the last show for once.
That's why you're awesome. That's why we even have a podcast. If you didn't follow up or do shit, we would not have a podcast. I would have recorded some audio once and it would have lived on your hard drive into like perpetuity.
Dude, fucking Sam is so funny. I'm like, hey, we're podcasting in 20 minutes. He's like, fuck, dude. Like, he forgot. Like, every time.
Yeah,
dude,
but I've done that before.
Yeah, but it's Sam every time, dude. Yeah,
that's funny. Though, like, I remember one time. Oh, yeah, you guys were like, hey. And then I was like, I seriously just started a movie or something with, like, the girlfriend at the time. Don't quote me on that. But it was like, oh, shit, by the way, can you go in my bedroom and be quiet for 3 hours? Or wait, no, I'm like, wait here, I'm going to go in my bedroom and be quiet for 3 hours. So I want to praise her tolerance, bless her little heart, whichever one that was at the time. So yeah, senior MySQL daughter, hot. It's been decided. She wins the hot award.
Do you want to store your data in her?
There's lots of things that aren't appropriate for a recorded conversation that I would like to do, but I think I'm a gold digger now. Because I haven't earned my bajillions yet, there's 5 or 10% of my ADD imagination that is going to be directed towards just clamping or clobbing on to someone who is already 1%, because I'm not there yet, so that's, you know, I can't not think about that, but
All right. I'm looking here in the doc. I see another thing. Davey, tell us about Iris Couch.
So in my adventures learning Python, I'm building a Bitcoin trading bot.
Oh, God, that's so cool.
So I already got it. It's already interfaced with the Mt. Gox exchange, and I'm hoping to interface it with some other Bitcoin exchanges. But I got it to grab all the historic information from Mt. Gox and throw it into a CouchDB, so I can run historic tests. So if I come up with some algorithm, I can test to see how much money this bot would have made me if I had it running in the past.
Yep.
So I wanted to find somewhere in the cloud to put my CouchDB, and I found Iris Couch, which is awesome. You can have a CouchDB running in the cloud in under like 10 seconds.
That's so cool, dude.
iriscouch.com.
IRIS.
Yeah, like the eyeball thing. iriscouch.com. And you sign up, and it's free as long as your usage is under $5. And you have some pretty crazy usage if you want.
Wait, so tell me more about your bot. This is the first I've heard of it. This thing sounds cool.
So I'm teaching myself Python, and the best way I've found to learn any language is just to start a project and learn as you go, Googling stuff.
Which is the sign of a true ninja master, by the way, everyone out there.
I like it.
Those of you who weren't paying attention, go ahead and rewind now.
So the name of my Bitcoin trading bot is Bitbot, which I think another bot had this name. I'm sure there's tons of Bitcoin trading bots out there, and I'm reinventing the wheel, but I wanted to learn Python with it. So
that's the best way.
That's so cool, dude. I want to fucking help you now.
So I have the Gox interface class, and I have a class which saves that stuff to CouchDB, and I'm right now working on the class which will take that data and do a rolling average or an exponential.
Take a look at the R programming language, dude. I bet you it would be really easy. Oh, you want to do Python, but R is really meant as statistical analysis. I wonder if R would be a better solution.
They have a number of statistical interfaces to Python, and the one I've come to is called Pandas.
Okay.
And it lets you do all the rolling means and all this statistical analysis.
I really want to look into that, dude. If you could teach me that, I would fucking be in your debt, dude. That's awesome.
So it's all up on my GitHub. I'm doing it in public. So
that's so cool, dude.
That's on my GitHub. So yeah, hopefully I'll be having a Bitcoin bot trading for me in the future.
That's really cool. And so you're looking for a place online to run Python for free?
Yeah. And I was thinking, I looked around, there's one called PyCloud, I think. But it limits, it's based on how many hours you run, and mine would be running continuously, so it wouldn't be prudent to run it there. Thinking of just doing an Amazon EC2 cloud instance, because the first year is free on a micro instance, and I'm pretty sure I would be under the limits for a micro instance, but that requires me setting up the whole server. So I was looking for something where I could just have a Python.
I would look at Heroku, and I would also, so Michael Dominic is on another podcast. His name of the podcast is called Coder Radio, and he is looking to run Java, so not Python, but the options are different. But he just wants a Git push deploy solution, and there was some good talk. I might be able to link you the episode, but there was some good talk about different options out there for just, I just want to Git push deploy my Python. So I'll send that your way. Okay. Because, I mean, that's really what you want, right? You just want to have a repo and just push to the repo and be done with it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's so easy. Yeah. But on the other hand, learning how to run an instance, it would be a very good experience. And I know that you have some experience with that, but...
Yeah, I'm sure I could do it. I've just been putting it off because I don't want to use the first free year of an EC2 cloud. I'm not going to use it. So I'm waiting for the perfect time to, I don't know, some project I'm working on. Maybe this is the one to throw up an EC2 instance so I can get that first year free and use it.
Got it. That's really cool. We got to stay in touch more, man. You're doing some... Davey always has the cool projects for everyone out there. He's always got something in the fire. It's really cool, dude. Say it again?
When you're unemployed, you get all kinds of time to do fun stuff.
But at least you're not like fucking wasting your time like watching TV all day or like, I don't know, other horrible activities.
Yeah.
Like you bought an oscilloscope? Tell me about that, dude.
Oh, yeah. As an electrical engineer, I don't feel complete without my own oscilloscope. So I found one on eBay, which is the Tektronix 2240, which is an old school analog one.
Cool.
And I haven't actually found a great use for it yet, but the first thing I threw up on there was something called Oscillophone, which is a basically a song made by this group called Atom Delta. And if you plug in the right and left channels from your sound output into the XY input of an oscilloscope, you get an awesome music video. And this blows my mind that the music, which is actually pretty good, actually also is
has the video encoded into it.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So you should throw up the YouTube link to Oscillophone in the show notes so people can watch this. And so it on YouTube, it'll play the soundtrack and show you the output that it happens on the oscilloscope.
Awesome. So that was the name of the song, and then the group was Atom
Delta? So wait,
how did
they do the 3D rotating thing? What the hell?
It's an XY. It's XY input, so the right panel deviates your, the point from the cathode ray, X on the X dimension, and the Y and the right channel does the Y dimension or whatever.
But they have to make tones with it, though. Are they making tones through?
I'm not sure how they did it.
Stopping and starting the same picture. I mean, that would make sense, right?
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't wrapped my head around exactly how they did this. If they created the images first and then somehow made music out of it, or if they made the music and then through the difference between the right and left channel created the
image.
Image, yeah.
So that's really crazy. So one of the things they have is just a simple 3D box being drawn on a 2D plane. And I drew this in my graphics class at Davis. Mm-hmm. And so I actually have C code that can draw this on an XY plane.
Nice.
And you can do multiple polygons. Like, I basically have my own render engine that I wrote. Now, it's probably really shitty and leaks a bunch of memory, but, you know, it works. It draws it. And I actually took that code and I ported it to a Mosaic Industries touchscreen. And I was actually able to draw 3D objects on the touchscreen. It was pretty cool.
Nice.
It was slow as shit, but it worked. That's really cool, dude. I'm trying to, by the way, everything in here goes in the show notes. So I'm just trying to cover all the different things that you have in here. There's also a lot of feedback I want to get to, so maybe we'll look at that. Is there this? Do you want to talk about this Linksys router, or are you kind of over it? Always change your router password.
Yeah, just be careful about your routers. Change your default password, and if you have a Linksys router, they have really holy firmware. Like, there's so many different attack vectors in a Linksys router if you have the default firmware. So check out DDWRT, which is you've mentioned on the show before, but it's the open source router firmware that you can upload to your router, and it's a lot more secure than the default firmware. But some of the ridiculous stuff is you can do cross-site file upload to the Linksys admin page. So basically, any web.
Say it again. Say it again. Cross-site what?
Cross-site file upload. So you go to any website on the internet, and they could have some JavaScript running, and it will do a cross-site, which means to another domain, which is
right.
Your local domain 192. Or whatever your gateway is. Mine is 192.168.1.1, and basically they can upload files to this. And because this is completely open, you can upload files to the iapply.cgi page without authentication. So you don't even need the password. You can upload a new configuration for anyone's router and open it up to the web.
But you have to. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
You have to visit an infected page first, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is true.
I heard a variation on this, dude, which is really nuts, which is they will send you an email. And in the email is an image, and the source of the image is on your local router with the default password, and it changes settings just by loading the image because the routers don't differentiate between put and post requests.
Oh, that's crazy.
And so basically you load 1,000 images, which are the default password on 1,000 routers, which all change the DNS, and then now you've controlled the DNS. You can do whatever you want.
That's awesome.
Isn't that nuts, dude? And if you open it on your iPhone, you're done.
Crazy.
And the iPhones always load default images, right? As opposed to like Gmail, which says, oh, load this image or not.
Right. But by default, iPhones, open up the images when you open an email. So
thanks, Steve Jobs. Go fuck yourself.
So, lesson is change your firmware on your routers to something more secure like the open source DDWRT.
Do I need to buy a specific router for that? Because I've always wanted to do that.
They support a ton of different routers. They have a whole lookup table. If you go to their website, just Google search DDWRT, and then they have a router lookup. You type in the model name, and you can see if it's supported or not.
That's so cool. That is so cool, dude. So I have a couple of things to say here. We got some pretty cool feedback from last show. And actually, last show we got a lot of feedback, and I would like to thank all of the listeners for talking back to us. Snake Doc says on the show notes, he says, Ben, don't underestimate your renting options. With talking about doing data migrations from one system to another, don't forget you can always rent an external hard drive from Fry's! ! I rent all the time!
That's awesome.
I'll go in and double quotes, pay double quote for the external comma and use it, and return a few days later and tell them double quotes, it just didn't work right. Never had a problem. Period, ethical. I'll let you be the judge, LOL. I think that's totally ethical. It's in their service agreement.
Yeah, no, there's a return policy for a reason. So as long as you are aware of that specific policy and you don't get hit with a, whatever they call an unboxing fee or whatever, you're good to go.
Yep. He also talks about CloneZilla, which is a really cool tool for imaging drives. And he talked about some RAID shenanigans. If you guys want to see his comment about that, go into the show notes. He was commenting on how I talked about taking a RAID, cutting in half, building a new RAID on the other half, and then moving the data over and then destroying the first half and then re-silvering the first half. Fucking crazy shit like that. And
nice.
He said he's done it, and he has a little story about that. At Derek Bellrose on Twitter said, thanks for the call out. The first 10 minutes or so were awesome and entertaining. And he was talking about the 10 minutes of show 29, which was us calling Sam homeless for no internet.
It was. I agree. It was entertaining.
So Davey thought that was funny too. One of my hacker buddies, her name on Twitter is Yosun, which is Yosun. She listened to the Bitcoin podcast because she's really annoying, and she asked me all these questions. And she's like, "What's this? What's this? Why?" It's like a little kid. But I was like, "If you want to know about Bitcoin, listen to my podcast." And so her feedback is, "This is a long ass podcast." Period. And it's funny that it started with Butters South Park Watch, is what she said. So I think she's confusing the gold watch up your ass from Pulp Fiction with South Park. I'm not sure exactly if there was a South Park scene. Merrick, remember the gold watch thing?
Yeah, I read that actual comment and I was confused enough to just, my brain didn't even store it. And when you read it now, just again, I'm like, oh yeah, what was that about? So I have no clue.
So we were talking about gold. We were talking about currency, what a fiat currency was. And then Sam was talking about Troy ounces of gold back in the old days. And then you and I both went to the joke, of course, about Pulp Fiction, remember?
With nice, the gold watch.
And at the beginning of that podcast, I clipped it on. But I don't know how she went to South Park. I don't know what...
We might have to have her elaborate on that.
I would homage to Pulp Fiction and copied it or something.
I think so, but I looked for it and I couldn't find it, so I don't know exactly what's going on. Anyways, Russell Folk, I think on either feedback or on Google Plus, said, glad to see you record a new episode. I found about your podcast via Coda Radio and finally listened to all your catalog this week. I have a long drive tomorrow and I know this will be one of the things I'm listening to. He said, I'm a bit OCD and I had to go through your shores in order which you made it. Pointless to commit for a while, but I really enjoyed it and would enjoy a semi-regular podcast by you all to listen to. Keep up the great work.
Nice.
Now Neil sent a huge email, which I didn't even get a chance to read, but I think I'm going to skim it because I feel bad because he always sends us these really long emails. And
he's awesome. He's our favorite listener. So
is, but I don't know. I feel bad because like I'm so busy and I didn't get a chance.
Well, you freaking run a startup, dude.
Dude, but Neil is like such a baller. Like, what am I supposed to do?
I feel bad because I'm so lazy. I don't do anything. So you're doing a good job. I just want to let you know.
I do.
High five.
Thanks, I guess. I don't know. I'm pulling that up now.
Nice.
So he says, surprised that we did not look at the connection details of Skype and see how many packets were being dropped. So first off, I was looking at the details. I just didn't relay it to you over the audio. But if you go into Skype and go into call technical details, you can see all the stuff about the drop packets and stuff. And it's pretty cool. It's got all these packets flying by and stuff. Yeah, I don't know if it says how many dropped. It may or may not say dropped. I don't think it actually says drop packets. But it says that we've sent 300,000 packets so far, 313,000, I guess. And it says we're on the Silk Codec, so that's pretty cool. And he also says it's a good thing that we're dog fooding, which is what we do. I'm still reading this email. I know that it's such a bad podcast form to just do this.
No, I mean, you know, come on. If any of our awesome listeners listen to professionally produced podcasts, I'm sure they understand once they hear ours what they're getting into. But I feel all the same. We offer entertainment, so you know, we commend our loyal fans for dealing with our technical shenanigans and such. And you know, one day when we have floating ASIC island and people to produce this shit for us, it will be very well polished. I can assure you that much.
So he also is talking about Bitcoin. He says, I'm wondering if the ASIC miners are the cause of the current price hike. Lots of people see the ASICs coming and have either buy Bitcoins or accept that they are unlikely to ever get any more and will not be able to mine soon. He doesn't mention Litecoin, but we definitely talked about that. He also talks about the power over Ethernet plugs. So that's what my internet used to be until my roommate ruined that for me. And he said they're fantastic. And you're right, Neil, they are fantastic when you don't have your kids running around and plugging them. So there's that.
Damn children.
And he agrees that passwords are past their date, which I agree with. It's kind of annoying because humans, I have the worst password picking policy ever. So
yeah.
Thanks. And thank you so much, Neil, for that epic feedback. You know, it's listeners like you that make the show happen. And actually, David Secret was someone who rounded together the last podcast, right? Right, Merrick? You said that it was Davey?
Yeah, I was confused because I think I said Mike Shaw first did. And Mike had chatted me about something else earlier, and that stuck in my brain. And then when David was like, hey, you guys should podcast again, I was like, oh, shit, you're right. And you should be on that shit. And you had already talked to him and vice versa, so I was stoked. And then when it came time, I was like, oh, Mike said something about the podcast. And then I said, Mike, and Mike's cool too, but at the same time it was David who said, hey, you guys should record another one. I'm like, oh, we should. And then I freaking messaged Ben. I'm like, let's do this shit.
So Davey, if you want to be the official wrangler,
we'll do. I always enjoy the new Point Forward podcast.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty cool. I don't know if there's anything else you want to cover. You want to give out some ways people can contact you, Davey, on the Twitters and stuff?
Let's see. My GitHub handle is dsyko, D-S-Y-K-O. And my Twitter handle is David_Sikora. That's David_Sikora.
Cool. And Sikora? How do you say it?
Sikora.
Sikora. Okay, I might have confused.
No, I think I said it wrong first, so that can be my fault.
No worries.
Sikora.
So if we all had internet, which we're not going to do tonight, but this is a tease for next episode, Merrick, you're going to tell us about Node on EC2?
Totally going to do a sweet walkthrough for Node, starting with the free or micro-tiered Amazon EC2 instance, which I signed in and was testing before the show and got a significant percentage of the way through before I ran into an error. I also, before, alluded to the fact that I was going to, you know, do this using a bash script that my coworker gave me to get my development machine set up, but I was nitpicking into that and I found out he has a lot of stuff in there that is set up specific for our projects and stuff you wouldn't need if you wanted to just have a play around Node server.
Right, so it's his deploy script, it's not just like a generic.
So I jumped online and I found a sweet walkthrough that I'm pretty sure will be the resource for next time. I just need to follow through and make sure this error at the end can be resolved, and then we will post a link to that, including whatever changes need to be done to get your sweet pimped out free EC2 Node server running, and then you can play with that shit.
It's a good tease. Cool. And, you know, of course, the show is on Twitter at Port FWD Podcast and our website, Port Forward Podcast. And I am on Twitter at Benathon. Merrick, where do people contact you? Google Plus or what?
Yeah, that's the only thing I regularly check. I mean, besides
my
email.
You're good about it now. Now that you have an Android phone, you're really good about Google Plus, huh?
Yeah, well, it makes it that much easier. It's, you know, all the, like, anytime I take a picture of anything, like, a minute later, it's like, hey, do you want to share this shit? I'm like, oh, my balls don't need to be on the internet. But then later, I take a picture of something else, and I'm like, oh, like, my coworker's desk. My coworker, you saw that shit earlier, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That was good.
Merrick took a bunch of Post-it notes and fucking pissed on his coworker's desk with them, and the sticky notes. And what did they say? Close the door?
Well, he's Costa Rican, which is no excuse, but I feel like he was born in a barn because we're upstairs now. We moved upstairs, and the heat just all goes upstairs, so it gets hot as shit up there, and then we either have the AC on or we're trying to do the natural air cooling thing, one or the other, and he either leaves the screen door open so these little bugs fly in and then just fly between my face and the monitor, and they piss me off because I try to smash them, and then, like, whatever, I get fingerprints on my monitor, or, like, he'll leave shit open so the AC, the cold air goes out, and, like, I feel like I've figured out his learning style. It's not so much the you have to ask him to do something in, like, a nice way or, like, a not nice way. You just have to make his life harder, and then he'll learn. So he's a cool guy, though. He's my favorite Costa Rican so far, so we'll see.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So Google Plus is a good way to contact you, Merrick.
It is.
Just Merrick Clark, right, on Google Plus?
I would assume so.
All right. I'm just Ben Morris on Google Plus, and same with David. David's Sikora over there. This has been Podcast 30. This has been a big episode for us. I mean, it's like an anniversary, dude. 30 episodes.
It's a milestone.
It is kind of awesome. I think that Davey might be the person in the world who listens to the podcast second most to me, because he's listened to the whole thing all the way through. So that's pretty impressive. I guess also Russell Folk would fall into that category as well, but you know. And so hopefully we'll be able to continue a high rate of giving you guys awesome shows like this. It's so much fun. And now that we have our new Wrangler, Davey, it might happen. I don't know.
We're going to do that. We're going to practice our internets, and we're going to make this shit sound good. Ben is the kind of magical glue that brings the whole mishmash of...
And I'm happy to do it. And it's like a resume for all of us. So
that's
I think
good.
It's really cool.
I like it.
No, it's
I'm
really
stoked.
Good. Yeah, exactly. Cool, guys. Well, this has been episode number 30, and thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Peace out.
Beep.
Ben, how long did you edit a show? I'm curious.
like 2 or 3 times as long, I'd be happy to show you the process.
2-3 times as long as we take to record it?
Twice as long, probably.
Yeah. Dude, I totally believe it takes 3 times as long, and that's why I fucking owe you a drink. Because goddamn.
More than one.
Serious. Well, I'll owe you drinks anyway forever, because if you count the interest on the money I borrow, well, I'm going to pay you actual interest anyway, but I'd be fine buying all your drinks. I'm cool with that. All
right. That's so cool.
I mean, what's kind of crazy is I owe you a fraction of the money I owe David, but whatever. It's cool. I'm cool with it. I just want an ASIC miner. I also want to read about Litecoin now, too.
You still have that Bitcoin that Neil gave you?
Mm-hmm.
I guess I could look at blockchain.
You gotta hang on to that shit, man.
$150.
Keep it.
We're keeping it.
Good.
No, don't worry.
Drop all my call burner shit in there.
Mm-hmm. And there's going to be both MP3s and Waves, maybe? Or there's going to be 2 directories where it saves them, like the raw and the non-raw, so...
Everything?
Everything.
It's
just give it all.
It's going to be a nightmare, because I got disconnected a couple times. I had to restart.
I know. Trust me. Know the nightmare that's coming, okay? I got it. All
right. Oh, man.
Do you edit in...
Ableton.
Ableton Live, yeah.
Yeah. You know Ableton Live a little bit, right?
I just made the 30 folder.
Yeah, I did teach you. Okay, good. Can you actually share it with him? Maybe.
Yes, I can.
Because I actually realized that my battery's only has 20 minutes left on my laptop. I don't know why it's not plugged in, but...
How's your blanket fort doing?
Blanket fort's great. It hasn't fallen over once.
Crash.
Dude, we should put that picture online. That's sweet, dude.
I totally will. I just want to make sure my desktop, I'm all over that shit.
What's this devil voice thing you had?
What do you mean?
I've never heard of that. What is it? I heard you using
Wait,
it.
What do you mean?
Devil sounded
what?
Awesome.
What do you mean, David? You are a person.
Person.
I am a computer. We are different.
Sam is
homeless.
HAL 5000 or whatever it is.
It's the say command on Mac OS X, dude. It's the best thing ever.